from Daytona Beach, Florida. This is the Daytona Motor Mouths Podcast.
The Daytona 500 belongs to Franklin, Tennessee's Darrell Waldrop.
With two of the preeminent motorsports writers in America from the Daytona Beach News Journal, Godwin Kelly.
Hey, get out of my way.
And Ken Willis.
Come on, Godwin. Rubbin's racing.
This is the podcast for NASCAR fans.
Now the checkered flag about to come out.
From the home of NASCAR, Daytona Beach, Florida.
Here he comes. He's got
to the bottom. He's down low.
The Daytona Motor Mouths on Twitter at NASCAR Daytona or Facebook at NASCAR Daytona or visit online at DaytonaMotorMouths.com.
And Kevin Harvick is a Daytona 500 winner.
Now, here they are from the Daytona Beach News Journal, Godwin Kelly and Ken Willis.
He's going to make it. Dale Jarrett's going to win the Daytona 500.
Quiet on the set. Somebody get Willis a bathrobe. Okay.
All right. I'm here.
Oh, there he is. Okay. That's fantastic. You look well and rested and healthy and perky.
I'll take perky.
Perky?
I'll take perky. Ken Willis, Godwin Kelly, Daytona Motor Mouse. It is a Pepsi 400, Coke Zero 400 edition. We are done with Sonoma. We're almost halfway through the NASCAR season. They're coming back to Daytona Beach this weekend for the 400 mile. Your Firecracker 400. You know, it was the Firecracker 250 back in the early days.
Yeah.
And then they went to it was the Firecracker 400. Then it became the Pepsi Firecracker 400. Then just the Pepsi 400. And then the Coke Zero 400. And why am I doing my Keith Jackson?
Yeah, at one point you called it
the soda cracker.
Yeah, you called it the soda cracker.
I was torn between when they got rid of the Firecracker name altogether, because they started the Pepsi Firecracker 400.
Yeah,
and then they realized that Pepsi realized everybody was still calling it the Firecracker 400. And then somebody at Pepsi, who's highly paid, said, you know, I don't think we're getting our money's worth out of this sponsorship. So they dropped the Firecracker altogether. And I was torn at that time between calling it the Soda Cracker 400 or the Former Cracker 400. So so anyway, I just call it like Richard Petty, the July race.
Yeah.
You talk to some real old timers, you know, the old timers call it the July race. Now, if they're not from the sticks, like Richard, they'll call it the July race. But then Rich called it the July race. And the real old timers, like Richard and older, if you can find somebody older than Richard, they refer to the 500 still as the beach race. Like Glenn Wood calls it the beach race. Because prior to 59, they came down here in February, F-E-B-R-Y, and they ran where? On the beach, right? So that, yeah. So the real old-timers refer to the 500 as the beach race.
Are you getting all that?
You got all that sound back there, right?
Are you getting it?
Write it down.
Are you getting all this?
Yeah. So anyway, we're approaching the July race, but this right now we're going to blend right into our opening segment of Daytona Motor Mouse, and what that one's called, right?
What do you know?
Well, here's what we know. We have another first-time winner for 2017. Another guy has raced a goose egg and gotten on the wins board, and that would be Kevin Harvick. Finally got that win at Sonoma. And we have a NASCAR This Week page that comes out weekly, strangely enough, in the Daytona Beach News Journal, and a lot of little big newspapers across this great land of ours.
Well, just to emphasize this, our paper, our NASCAR This Week in the News Journal comes out on Tuesday.
Yeah, so look for it right now.
And then it's syndicated across the country, and I have a guy, his name is Will Garcia, and they publish our page wherever he lives. I'm not sure where he lives.
Well, that kind of screws up your whole story, doesn't it?
Well, but they his newspaper publishes it on Saturdays.
Isn't that something?
Yeah. So what he does is he emails me his picks and stuff, and we've been playing this game of who can pick better over the last few months. It's been kind of fun. So, Will, if you're listening, keep them coming.
Will Garcia. Maybe he can sit in next week. Anyway, on the national. See what you did? You threw me off totally. I was like, now we just got creative dead air here.
Still getting this? Can we edit this Facebook
All right.
Live?
On the NASCAR This Week page, one of the you always touch upon three things we learned. And then
and it's legal.
And that's our look back at the previous weekend's race. And then you do a three things to watch looking ahead to the coming weekend's race. Now, one of the things we learned was that practice makes perfect for Kevin Harvick and Sonoma. He did something very strange on Saturday, on the day before the annual Sears Point road course race out there in the Napa Valley. What did he do, Mr. Kelly?
He entered in the K&N Pro Series.
K&N. And what does that stand for? Do we know?
I think it's K&N Mufflers or something like that.
But K or N. Neither one of them stands for muffler.
And then the, what is it?
Ampersand
N, which, by the way, that really messes up stuff in our computer system.
When we put in the ampersand?
Yeah. So it's a tough one.
Okay.
But he entered. It was a Saturday race. He entered just for the road racing experience, I guess,
to get out of the house. So I know what that means.
Knock the rust off or whatever. Yeah. And so he won that race, and then he turns around and wins the big Sunday race. So that leads me to think, you know how they copycat in NASCAR?
Yep.
All right, that leads me to think that down the road, like when we get to Watkins Glen, that you're going to see other drivers, if they have a K&N race or some other preliminary event, they'll jump in a car. And
what used to be the Busch North.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think the Saturday thing that Harvick ran in was the old Winston West.
Yeah, well.
Yeah, if you look at the history of that series and those California races back in the days of Riverside and whatnot, Ontario, California, that name Herschel McGriff shows up a lot, right?
Yeah.
And the old Winston West series.
Yeah, the funny thing is he's going to be here for the Hall of Fame stuff.
Well, bless his heart.
Yeah, and he's back. He probably would say the old beach race. He's that old.
So with James Hilton.
He ran in the first Southern 500 at Darlington.
That is I'll do the math. 50 to 17. Take away naught into naught is 50. That was a 50 to 2017. 67 years ago.
Yeah.
This Labor Day.
Yeah.
So that's a long time.
Yeah, but he was like super young and obviously
you can't hide this. He's an older guy.
He's an older guy. But
all right, now.
But he's going to be here for the Motorsports Hall of Fame of America induction dinner on Wednesday night.
Of umpteen racing halls of fame.
And I'll tell you right now, let's see, this airs tomorrow, Tuesday. So, you can still get tickets. There's have a handful of tickets left. Just go to the website that they have.
What do you know? The big headline under What Do You Know, by my way of thinking, is Junior Earnhardt saying, well, you know, I'm retiring and all, but, you know, he already said, even at his retirement, that the odd Busch Series race, Xfinity, he'll run one or two of them, and basically for sponsors to raise some sponsorship money that will help fund him and his sister Kelly's Xfinity effort, the team that they own in that series. Now, he's cracked that door apparently even a little bit wider and saying, well, I know, but if somebody comes along and wants me to run the 500 next year, who knows? Maybe I'll run it. That's the sort of thing that kind of dampens the whole nostalgia of him supposedly running his last cup race at Daytona this week. And going forward, all the going away parties, you know, everybody, it's not like other sports. That race car drivers are a lot like boxers in this regard. They say, well, you know, I'm not talking about being punch drunk. Maybe I am. But they always say, I'm going to retire. It's time to quit. But they never really do they? Very few of them get out of that car and stay out of that car. So he's already suggesting that he might run the Daytona 500 in February, which sort of would irritate me if I went out and already if I had bought him a going away gift, you know?
Well, you know what?
No.
I think that that's more talk than anything else. He's feeling nostalgic, and he doesn't want to give. You know how these guys are. They don't want to give it up, you know?
I would think that he would do just the opposite. He would play up the fact that, well, this is it, this is it. You sell a hell of a lot more diecast if people think this is the last diecast you're going to get of Junior at Daytona.
Let me put the words in his mouth. This is it. This is it.
You really think so?
Yeah, I don't think we're going to see him race at Daytona.
I'm convinced it's not it.
I think that's a bell-ringing statement right
now. He's going to run at least one race at Daytona next February. The Xfinity race is my guess. Maybe two if he wins a pole this year. Maybe he'll come back and run the Busch Clash or whatever it's called now. Maybe he'll do that. And now he's dropping a hint that he might run the 500 for Pete's sake. And if Jimmy France has his way, he'll run the Rolex. Hell, he might be busier than we are next February here. You know?
Well, I just think he's not going to run here again. I think... I
hate it when you're wrong. You're supposed to be Mr. Motorsports.
You know, he was in a kind of a wistful mood. See, Sonoma, if you haven't been keeping track.
How dare you? How dare you suggest I haven't been keeping track?
Sonoma is really the beginning of the end. It's like the last time he'll be at Sonoma. This week, it'll be the last time he's at Daytona, and then the week after that, and so forth. So, New Hampshire has two races for some reason in the second half of the year. I don't understand that. But other than New Hampshire, this is his last go around through the series. So, he's just getting, a little.
You know who retired? And I don't think I've laid eyes on since he retired. Ricky Rudd. Rick? Rusty Wallace, he's done TV, and then he raced a little something last year. He's around. But Ricky Rudd, I don't think I've seen him. I don't think I physically laid eyes on him since he retired 6 or 7 years ago.
Well, you know what he does?
Well, he doesn't come to racetracks.
But you know what he does?
I don't know. Tell me.
He rides a mountain bike.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
Well, maybe he's up in the mountains. He's a mountain man.
He's up in the mountains.
Ernest T. Rudd.
He's up there, and he ain't coming down. So
the old man from the mountain is not coming home.
He wasn't a guy that was, like, real media savvy. Yeah. He was a nice guy and
great
all.
Guy to talk to, but he just doesn't. He's one of the few guys. He's one of the guys who, I guess, doesn't need it. Doesn't need the travel. Doesn't need the limelight. Doesn't need anybody fawning over him. We could all use a little bit of that every now and then. Boy, what I'd give for a little fawning.
Yeah. He is. I'm sure if he got invited, like next year.
That's right. Maybe he's just not been invited.
Next year is the 60th running of the Daytona 500.
Yeah.
Well, he never won.
There you go.
But.
He had one hell of a wreck here, though, boy,
yeah.
I tell you.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm still jumpy.
Yeah. But what I'm saying is like if they invited all the old-timers back, he would show up because that's what he is.
He's an old, you're calling him an old-timer.
Or he may say, no, thank you.
From a high atop the mountain.
Hey, no, thank you. I'm good.
Who said that?
I'm good.
All right. Look at your what do you know list. Anything else you want to talk about before we move on? Anything there that we got to hit before we go?
Well, the only other thing is Kyle Busch and his crew chief.
You know? He's going through them, isn't he? You talk about having a screw loose.
I think it's funny because he went to Sonoma without his crew chief, Adam Stevens, who was on suspension. And then after the race at Sonoma, there was loose lug nuts.
The dreaded
loose lug nuts.
Oh, man.
And so the guy that was taking Adam Stevens' place, Ben Beshore, I believe.
Yeah. If you said it, I believe it.
So he's... Now he's facing a suspension
for
loose lug nuts.
Oh, they got an issue.
Yeah, they've got to tighten those nuts up.
They need to tighten up.
They need to tighten those nuts up.
And do you know where the crew chief was last week and he was suspended?
I have no idea.
He's on a mountain with Ricky Rudd.
Mean up here?
Way up there.
Hey, how are you guys doing?
All right, so that's it for What Do You Know? And we will take a brief pause, a deep breath, and we will continue the Daytona Motor Mouse briefly. Woo, we're back already. What'd you do on the break?
I went to the bathroom. I checked my email. Yeah. I called my wife. Got a few things done.
I taught myself Portuguese. Now we're moving on to my one of my favorites. There's only three favorites. There's only three segments, but it's definitely in my top three. You'll get that in Big Time Auto Racing. You know what you'll get in Big Time Auto Racing sometimes, Gordo?
What that?
You'll get a guy who's you're not expecting to see at the racetrack, a guy who's no longer drives, who's either retired or forced out or gone, left for whatever reason. All of a sudden, he shows up. You go, what in the world's he doing here? And somebody go, well, it's one of them contract deals, sponsor deal. He had to show up, sign some autographs, go to a couple of dinners. Cousin Carl at Sonoma. Carl Edwards just out of the blue shows up in California this past weekend at due to some sort of contractual obligation with a sponsor or former sponsor for his race team. And that's part of their deal. When the sponsors sign up with a team and a driver for a personal services contract, part of the contract stipulates you're going to do X, Y, and Z for us, not just drive the car. You're going to appear at this, 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 and this. And the driver is happy to do it because, you know, pays the bills. Or in his case, you know, jet fuel. So Cousin Carl was at Sonoma last week. Further, and if he sticks his head out of that hole in Missouri where he's bedding down these days, if he sticks his head out, you know, like Punxsutawney Phil, Punxsutawney Phil Parsons. The rumor bill starts again and says, all right, where's Cousin Carl going to land? And he's one of the names that you hear a lot about the 88 car for next year. And your thoughts on, one, will Carl Edwards be racing next February when they come to Daytona Beach? And two is the obvious follow-up. If he is, where do you think he will be racing? For whom next February? Now, if the answer to one is no, proceed to Section 2-34A on your IRS form.
You know where he is?
Cousin Carl?
Yeah.
No.
He's on the mountain.
No, he's not on the mountain.
I'm not coming down.
There's no mountains in the Missouri where he lives.
He's not coming back next year.
Don't think
year.
So?
No. I whatever happened... happened, and he's the kind of guy that once he makes up his mind about something, it's made up. So that's my two cents.
So then the second part of my question is moot, as they would say. Moot, M-O-O-T.
That is correct, Your Honor.
Not many podcasts will you'll hear the word moot. You're going to hear mute a lot, I think, but not moot. All right, but I think it's 50-50. How's that for a commitment?
Wow, that's
here's what I do
strong.
Think. Here's what I think. I do think that he has an open invitation to consider the 88 car with a certain window of time with Mr. Hendrick, as they like to call him. I think that I would guess, this is purely speculation, that he is looking at a mid-July deadline to let Hendrick know if he's willing to talk about driving in the 88 car. And I am, you know what I'm basing that on? Absolutely nothing. I know nothing. That is pure conjecture.
So this is going to be in Jayski.
Yes, absolutely. Pure conjecture.
If you're listening, yeah. Jayski,
and
Willis
then,
is saying that Carl Edwards,
number 88, is his for taking.
Yeah.
But if he doesn't take it, then I think that Hendrick moves along and tries to wrestle Kyle Larson away from Chip Ganassi. He'd get him, you could grab him off a sale rack at Target, perhaps. No? Not now. The price is up. He's not on the sale rack.
Don't forget about Special K.
Yeah, I know, Keselowski. But yeah. I don't think he will leave. Penske's not going to let him go if he doesn't want him to go. Now, if he does go, it's because, you know, Penske's fine with him leaving. But I don't think that's the case. I don't think Penske will let him get away if he doesn't want him to get away. And so that's that. Forget that. How about that?
So who do you think will be in the 88?
If I had to guess right now, I will say Kyle Larson. I don't know how it's going to happen, but I just have a feeling.
What about Carl Edwards?
I think it's 50-50, and I'm taking the 50% that's not Carl Edwards. Say Kyle Larson. All right, for God's sake, I don't have all the answers. Just throwing stuff out there.
Yeah, but Jayski wants to know this.
The great
stuff,
thing
man.
Is if you make like 10 or 15 wild predictions, all you got to do is have one come true, you know, and everybody will go, man, that's amazing. How'd you know that? And you go, I don't know. I just had a feeling. The other stuff they just write off as being, you know, the gibberish of a crazy man. So, a man with an addled brain. All right, here's something else you'll get big time on.
Dang, I didn't get to the microphone.
See. Denver, Colorado. Heard of it?
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
There's a Denver in North Carolina.
Yeah, a Denver, North Carolina.
Which you might say, if you were talking about a race team from Denver, a person with any geographical knowledge and any historical knowledge of NASCAR would assume you were talking about the Denver in North Carolina.
Right.
But we're not talking about the Denver in North Carolina. We're talking about the Denver everybody's heard of. And what's the deal? Why are you comparing that to Dawsonville, Georgia these days?
Well, it's interesting because Furniture Row Racing, right?
Yes.
All right. The car owner, instead of having the car and shop in the Charlotte, North Carolina area.
Yeah. The PD.
The PD. He opted to keep his shop in Denver, Colorado.
Makes sense.
All right.
You want to be 2,000 miles away from all the quality mechanics.
Now,
and
listen to this.
Part suppliers.
Listen to this.
All right, I'm listening.
They've got a two-car team. Obviously, Truex is their main guy.
Why are you whispering?
Why am I whispering?
Anyway.
Because I don't want everybody to hear this.
Right.
So, Truex is their main guy.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, they got Eric Jones now, too. But if you look at what Truex has done and compare it to Joe Gibbs Racing effort, and they get all their parts and stuff, engines, everything comes from Joe Gibbs Racing.
Mm-hmm.
All right. How many wins does Joe Gibbs Racing have this year?
As many as I do.
Yeah. How many wins does Truex have?
Two more than I do.
Yep.
Yeah.
So, and he's led, you know, the most laps of any driver this year, blah, 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 et cetera, et cetera. Stage points, you know. And my thought is they get this stuff from Joe Gibbs Racing. It goes to Denver, and then there's some kind of pixie dust or something that they sprinkle on these cars to make them that much better.
I think it's the altitude. Baseballs travel farther. At high altitude, golf balls travel further at high altitude. Cars probably go faster at high altitude.
Well, yeah, obviously.
Now, when they bring them down off the mountain and go to, you know, Sonoma or Phoenix or wherever, maybe some of that residual speed is still in the underneath the hood when they take it down off the, you know, from a mile up.
Yeah, but okay.
That's my theory.
So anyway, I call Denver Dawsonville 2.0.
Yeah,
because I think that as they're isolated up there, and the secrets that they're finding aren't being, you know, carried like a virus, you know, in the NASCAR community around Charlotte.
Interesting.
Yeah, so they're keeping all their stuff in Denver, and I think Denver is like 1,600 miles from Charlotte, something like that.
Well, I said 2,000, which was an absolute guess, but yeah. I'll go with 1,600.
I think. I don't know. So anyway, they're off yonder.
Yep.
And that's what happened with Bill Elliott and his brothers. They were in Dawsonville, Georgia, and
nobody dared trespass.
They came up with the magic formula in 1985.
Well, my brother Arnie. Well,
don't forget Dan.
Diane and Arnie. Yeah, they get up under that hood. Doing all we can, guys.
Harry Melling.
Well, one more thing, under you'll get that in big time auto racing. I think word of this move came out after we potted last week. But did you notice, you haven't really heard anybody talk much about this at all. Did you notice that they announced the schedule for this year's season-ending awards banquet that's staying in Las Vegas, but they're moving it to Thursday night from Friday night?
I mean, it's not at the Princess IC in Daytona?
No, and you won't have Marty Robbins playing his after-dinner entertainment. No, and Bob Latford won't be there passing out trophies. It's still in Vegas, but it's moving to a Thursday night. Your first reaction when you hear that? Other than it's not still at the Princess Isina?
That's crazy.
Now, is that a TV? Everything's a TV movie. That was stupid. Everything's a TV movie.
It's a TV
thing. But that, I thought that was kind of odd. Because here's the good part of it. Is, A, the drivers love it. Because that's another weekend free for them. They could either stay in Vegas or go home. And they got, you know, a whole free weekend at home. And you do mix in some free weekends in the off season, and that first one would be pretty nice to have. B, Thursday night TV is a lot easier to sell than Friday night TV. And that's why you rarely see quality programming on Friday or Saturday night, because they know people are out and about. You might not be at your age, but I mean, a lot of us, you know, as younger kids, you know, in the prize demographic, we're out and about on Friday night. We're not home watching TV. And I will tell you this. There's a hell of a lot better chance for me to watch that thing on Thursday night than there is on a Friday night with my happening lifestyle. You know what I'm saying?
Well, and don't forget that's football season. Football's king. You know, that's...
Well, Friday night, they're up against high school football around the country. I mean, but...
And college. I mean, they've got some...
A little bit.
Yeah.
A little bit.
Little bit
little
here.
Boise
bit
State
there.
Versus UNLV on a Friday night. Maybe,
yeah. Oh,
on
yeah.
a blue field.
Yeah.
Thursday night football.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, that's right.
That
yep. There you go. A word from the audience back there. There you go. Our Thursday night
Our
is a football night.
Yeah. Okay.
So that's not a smart move in that regard.
Idiots.
We would have been here all day without thinking about that. Yeah. But I still think it's better than, even if they're going up against football, they got a better chance of getting a bigger slice of the audience than they would if they did it on Friday night. Now, the core demographic, NASCAR demographic, that's going to be watching the NASCAR banquet, you know, they might be home by the time the banquet gets going good on Friday night. Not late nighters, right?
You know. Neither one of us is going to watch it, so it doesn't matter.
You don't know that.
One of these years,
they're going to come up with programs. They're going to come up with a. They're going to stick. They're going to hit upon a formula for that banquet that interests us. Now they have not done it in years, but they're going to hit upon a formula. They're going to have a host. They're going to have somebody host that thing, and they're going to come up with something that's going to say, "Godwin and Willis, you're going to watch this thing this year." Now, granted, it's been a long time. And generally, the way it's been done the last several years, I mean, I might watch it at gunpoint, but only if the gun was loaded and cocked but and aimed directly at me, and I had no rocks to hide behind. All right, so that's out of the way. But, you know, Thursday night, you're getting there. Can we now move off of this stuff? you'll get that big time auto racing. Now we're gonna run and hide off of that topic.
Well, take us out with a bell ring, please.
Oh, there we go. All right, now, you know what it's time for? Green-white checkers. Let's make it quick. You want to talk about who you like for the July race this weekend at Daytona Beach?
Well, I like, obviously, you know, you got to go with the sentimental favorite, Junior, last race at Daytona. Absolutely, the last race at Daytona.
Wrong.
He goes out. He dominates. He wins. It's a, you know, it's the story everybody wants to see.
All right. So you're taking the easy way out and going sentimental on us. I think it's going to be either the two quality cars from February, two of the cars that should have decided the Daytona 500 were the number two of Brad Keselowski and the 24 of Chase Elliott before, you know, fuel gremlins hit and left us with Kurt Busch. I'm going, and I know we've done this off and on throughout the season because we know it's coming eventually, but I'm thinking this will be it for Chase. And it'll be good symmetry with Junior leaving. Junior's, in theory, last cup race at Daytona, and this, and with him, he's been the people's choice for 15 years or more. Now he's going out, and Chase is the most popular driver in waiting.
Right.
He is the most popular driver elect.
This
as soon as drivers.
So you're saying this is an inhale, exhale thing.
Pretty much, yeah. And Chase Elliott, the guy who will take over that role of most popular driver, he's going to win the Coke Zero 400, and it will be there will be a nice little baton passing of sorts there. Now, before we go all together, I want to say I wish this was going to be the last July race on the 2.5-mile, 33-degree banked trioval at Daytona. I've been saying for a long time now, or by a long time, I mean 2 years, 31 degree, 33 at Talladega, right? Dang it. Never good at geometry. It was geography. Talladega, Daytona, is close enough. Sister track,
yeah.
2 degrees. I want them to, I've been saying this for at least 2 years, all the way back to 2015. I would love to see them take the, if they're going to leave this race in July, which apparently they are, come hell or high water.
Yeah.
I would like to see them move it to the infield road course. We're adding a third road course next year at Charlotte. That'll give us three. I think an even number at four would be best. And what do you do if you move it to the road course? Here, you do two things. You fully differentiate the 400 from the Daytona 500. Okay, you just totally eliminate any comparison, you know, any talk. It no longer looks like the Daytona 500. Therefore, the Daytona 500, which is already their biggest event, becomes that much more special and unique. All right, but you know, most of all, you can run on a damp track if you put it on the road course, on the infield, on the Rolex course. You don't have to wait for the track to dry. Not that it ever rains, you know, in midsummer here in Daytona Beach, but you know, on the off chance it does, you can just wait till the bad stuff passes, crank the engines, and go out there on your groove tires. What do you think about that? Talk to me.
Well, I actually think that that's a great idea.
Oh.
Three dings.
Yes, that was a three dinger.
And you know, how many, in the last 10 years, how many times have we just sat there and looked at each other as
painful.
It rained outside?
Well, we do that in, you know, we do that in dry times, too.
Yeah.
Stare into each other's eyes, wondering if there's anybody home. Yeah. I've been doing that for 20-something years.
So anyway.
Good God, 30-something years.
I'm on board with that.
Yeah.
Of course, the TV partners, you know, they'd have to be agreeable to that. And you know what? That first year, if they ever did that,
yeah,
that
it'd be
first,
huge.
It'd be gigantic.
Yeah. But then it wouldn't. Then it would slow down, and they realize, boy, remember when we had the restrictor plate race here, and they were running three abreast, you know, 10 rows deep, three abreast, and everybody was felt like they were watching a high wire act?
Well, I was thinking about that.
Yeah.
The thing that they could do is just not use the chicane. So you get them, like, coming full blast all the way around the track.
Yeah.
And then they'd have that one little...
Well, you'd come out of the infield. If you ran the Rolex course, you'd come out of the infield just before turn one, and you're just full bore from there till you have to hit the brakes coming off the trioval to go down into
the infield
course.
So basically, you got, like, 2 miles of super speedway racing where you could use the draft.
Yeah.
And it'd be funny to see, like, somebody slingshot to get into the turn one road course.
Yeah, I say keep the chicane. I'm going to talk about this as if they're going to accept my recommendation. Keep the chicane, because half the fun of these things is watching guys miss the chicane and hit the cones, hay bales, fly around. Half the fun.
You know, it's a work in progress. So.
All right. Well, yeah, I have not finalized plans for this change yet. When I do, I'll be in contact with who's in charge over there these days. Okay, call Brian.
Just call Brian.
And he knows. He can filter it down to whoever's in charge of logistics.
Yeah, he can just assign it to somebody.
Okay. I think we're done for this week. Another edition of Daytona Motor Mouse. Anything you want to say before we leave, Mr. Kelly?
Well, I can't believe that we're on episode 8.
Really?
Yes. And season 1, episode 8. And we're going across this mighty land. These two strong voices.
All right. We got 2 weeks to plan on big celebration for number 10 when we reach double digits. So
yeah, then
start planning that.
Then we then we're in the playoffs, right?
I think you're right.
Yeah.
Don't call it the chase.
Yeah. So it'll be the 10 first episodes regular season, and then we go into playoff mode.
That's when we get our game face on and get serious and might actually be entertaining. All right. Till next week.
Wait a minute.
What?
Hey, Ricky.
Ricky's here.
Ricky, are you okay? Yeah, I'm fine.
For Godwin Kelly, Ricky Rudd, and whoever else is up on that mountain with him and Herschel McGriff, this is Ken Willis. Until next time on Daytona Motor Mouths, thank you.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Daytona Motor Mouths. To reach the program, please visit DaytonaMotorMouths.com or follow on Twitter at NASCAR Daytona or Facebook at NASCAR Daytona. And thanks for joining us. Daytona Motor Mouths is a production of the Daytona Beach News Journal.